The moment that she gives a little bit of cover to somebody who's not approved, somebody who's not a part of the beltway system, not a part of the establishment, suddenly everybody turns on a dime and they call her the worst names, Nazi, Holocaust denier. I'm sure these people know her personally. These people know she doesn't support that. These people know she's not a white supremacist, but they want her to disavow me. They want her to, you know, do this very sort of symbolic genuflection towards conservative ink and say, yes, I submit. And I acknowledge that you're in control and you get to decide who's in the system and who's outside the system, you know, who's approved and who isn't. And so I think that's what it's really about, is it's about control over the conversation, the contents of the conversation, and who gets to participate in it. So I think that, you know, they are exposing themselves as maybe worse than the left. They are left of the left when it comes to this. The SPLC, the ADL, they are not even as hardcore on people like me or Michelle Malkin as people like David French and the National Review are being this week. So I think it's absolutely disgusting what they're doing to her. You know what's so telling about this is that they invite leftists to ask questions. They're so polite to the leftists who show up, you know, people that support abortion and socialism and all these other horrible things. But somebody like Caitlin Bennett or people, you know, who have rosaries in their hands or wearing Trump hats, they literally call the police on them to get them removed. And I think that exposes exactly what's going on, which is that they want to have a controlled conversation between the controlled globalist left and the controlled globalist right. And anybody, as you said, that is a free thinker, anybody like Caitlin or yourself or me or anybody that's not on board with this controlled conversation between two sides of the same globalist coin, well, they have to shut that down. And they have to brand those people as racists and Nazis and make sure that nobody associates with them and nobody can, you know, try and rehabilitate their image or anything like that. That's exactly what this is about. And it's totally backfiring because people see it for what it is. It's a very bad look.
All right, folks, Nick Fuentes joins us. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Coming up, Paul Joseph Watson is going to be hosting the fourth hour today as well. NicholasJFuentes.com. Okay, the reason I wanted to get this fellow back on, he was on a few weeks ago. He was on the War Room for an hour and a half or almost 2 hours yesterday, is that regardless of what you think about this guy, he has a First Amendment. And Turning Point USA and all these other Republican organizations have been coming out and trying to censor who can come and ask questions at their event. So Fuentes got mad about this a few months ago, and he started going to these events. I'm not going to play all the clips here. And they would have the police, they would have security waiting on them. I have a couple other articles here where other Republican groups are now calling the police on other people that ask questions who aren't even involved with Fuentes. So the exact behavior that we have seen out of the Democratic Party and out of these anti-free speech zone colleges, these anti-colleges, supposed to be the place of, you know, open discussion, we've seen a total conversion in the last 10 years of these being abodes of no speech except for the left and Maoist. Well, they really jumped the Megalodon shark here recently. 2 days ago, the major conservative organization headed up by Michelle Malkin as one of their main spokespersons, they fired her because she gave a speech. And the big debate is, you know, should the America First group and Nick Fuentes or anybody else be allowed to ask critical questions of Charlie Kirk or any other neocon, never-Trumper derivative organization? And the answer is no. So they said that Michelle Malkin is married to a Jewish man and who's pro-Israel is a Nazi. That's all over the news. She's now a Nazi because she supports Nick Fuentes, who I guess they've got one clip of somebody asking him a question on a YouTube live chat. And he reads out where they are making jokes about Cookie Monster and the fact that the gas ovens or whatever couldn't burn that many people or whatever. And the point is that whether you agree with that or disagree with that or think that's somebody's sick humor, I don't like it. But I get he was reading off the chat. That isn't the issue here. They always change the subject and go, well, if somebody's offended, it's hate speech, and now it goes away. Well, there goes the entire First Amendment. So this giant controversy's exploded. It's all over the news. It was one of the top stories on Drudge yesterday, Fuentes rising. And so I thought we should talk about this because, you know, I've been deplatformed, and they've done it using a bunch of lies. And then once that precedent's set, they expand on to others. And they've said in the news that I'm an unalloyed racist. That's Tom Brokaw saying that. You know, they've said that I'm an anti-Semite. Now, they don't have me making jokes about the Holocaust and Cookie Monster, which I think is very distasteful, and I don't agree with. Fuentes has his reasons for that. It doesn't matter. I'm now being demonized for even giving him this platform to respond. Well, you know, everybody tries to keep me from having platforms as well. And I'm sick of that. I'm tired of being accused of stuff. And then I can't anywhere on mainline, you know, internet or in those publications or TV shows respond. Thank God I happen to have my own platform with millions of readers and viewers every day, thanks to you, the listeners. And that's why InfoWars is the model of what they hate. But enough about that. It's my real pet peeve. There's new footage of the group that Michelle Malkin got fired from calling the police on people that ask about it. That's on InfoWars.com. I mean, this is really blowing up in a bad way for Turning Point USA, which if they would have just let Fuentes have their question, it would have been an interesting argument. I mean, you know, I disagree with some of the stuff Fuentes says. He's on. We'll debate it. That's interesting. I beg all these leftists. I mean, we call every leftist that Tucker Carlson's able to get on. And I've asked Tucker, how do you do it? He goes, well, we have really good producers, and we beg them, basically. And then we explain, hey, it'll be a bigger platform for you, blah, blah, blah. More and more, they won't go on. I want people on to disagree with. Nick Fuentes, thanks for joining us. Recap, we'll get into it more in the next segment, but recap the saga up until now for folks that aren't aware of it.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me to sort of give my side of the story. So, yeah, I think you sort of eloquently put it at the beginning of this segment, that we've been going to these different Turning Point events and other Conservative Inc. type events, Charlie Kirk, Ben Shapiro, Michael Knowles, Matt Walsh, these kinds of characters. And I've been sending followers of mine, or followers of mine inspired by my show are attending these events, and they line up in the Q&A and they ask questions about legal immigration. They ask about foreign aid. They ask some of the tough questions from a right-wing perspective about how Turning Point and these other college organizations are not really conservative, or they're not really fulfilling the America First mandate from the 2016 election. And so we've been doing this for about 3 to 4 weeks. And as you said, the response from Conservative Inc., from Kirk and all these other characters, is to call the people asking the questions racists, bigots, homophobes, all that. Turning Point USA participated in the doxing of me. The ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America, demanded that I be deplatformed from the whole internet for my inquiry, for this coordinated inquiry into Turning Point USA. And so it started out as something very innocent. It started out with legitimate grievances by college students, young Trump supporters, you know, asking how Charlie Kirk is really conservative. And as you said, now it is sort of snowballed into a much larger question about this free speech deficit that's happening on college campuses, particularly conservative college campus groups that, you know, they brand themselves and they've rose to prominence talking about free speech and anti-safe space, anti-trigger warning kind of thing. And now it looks like, as you said, they're calling the police on people for asking these questions. They had the police block me from attending an event. Caitlin Bennett got blocked by the police yesterday at a Michael Knowles event. So it's a pretty tragic thing that's happening with the conservative movement, but I think it's totally backfiring for these conservative organizations, Conservative Inc. organizations.
And by the way, we have that footage. Caitlin Bennett is a Christian. Caitlin Bennett, I believe, is pro-Israel. It's never even come up here. But exactly. I mean, even my own reporter now can't get into events because they see her as the enemy. And that's what we're witnessing is the attempt to call the entire mass of conservative Catholics, conservative Protestants, people that say, no, we don't want drag queen story time with five-year-olds. They're calling people Nazis, and that is going to blow up in their face. Because it's one thing for MSNBC to do it. But when Gorka the gay whale and all these people start doing this, they're going to have a big problem.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, it's very disturbing when somebody like Charlie Kirk, you know, he takes money from Scientologists. I don't know if you're aware of that. You might be interested in that. He takes money for his organization from Scientologists. It's very disturbing when somebody like that purports to be a Christian, purports to be a Trump supporter, purports to be a conservative. And these questions, like you said, from reporters, even people that happen to be pro-Israel, or they might be more mainline type conservatives or have more libertarian leanings, they have honest questions, you know, again, from the base of the country. And those people are smeared, slandered, called Nazis. Benny Johnson, who works for Charlie Kirk, called a Catholic supporter of mine a Westboro Baptist Church kid because he asked a question about how, you know, Charlie Kirk supporting gay marriage.
Stay right there. Nick Fuentes is our guest. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Nick Fuentes is our guest. I'm Alex Jones. Now, I had seen a year ago some of his videos, and I knew his name a few months ago, and he was, you know, complaining that why do we have all these never-Trumpers and neocons and others now being the voice of Trump while they don't get censored, but all these other nationalists and conservatives and patriots like InfoWars are being taken off. And then he starts going to their events and asking questions, and they begin having the police there. They're throwing them out. Now they're throwing other people out. And so Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, he's getting booed out of events. He's getting booed off the street. And Don Jr. is, which I'm not happy that happened, but it shows the real anger and the feeling of betrayal by libertarians on so many fronts at Trump. And by Christian conservatives, be they Catholic, be they Protestant, be a lot of Mormons, you name it. I mean, just people across the board that are more conservative are saying, look, we love Trump, but a lot of this evil stuff is just getting worse. And we're getting persecuted for Trump, and then we never see him going on the offense against people that are clearly committing crimes. Sure, it makes the Democrats look bad, but, well, now you notice this Republican Supreme Court just voted. And I was talking to top D.C. lawyers today, and I'll just leave it at that, one in person. And they just said, no, it's a sea change, and it marks that they intend to bankrupt the gun industry and that the establishment, including Republican leadership, wants the guns gone, the fact that they just overrode that law. So this is a very serious time, and I'm glad Trump's in there. My goodness, way better than Hillary. But if Hillary was trying all of this, we would be up in arms. If she was trying all this censorship, they wouldn't have gotten away with it. And she was going to try it. The fact that Trump's in there, and he means well, still is allowing them to energize their base, and then Trump doesn't resist them in defending his base, and it's emboldened them to really engage in this crusade of persecution. You ever hear Trump call the left bullies? You ever hear them say it's wrong that they attack his supporters? You ever hear him? No, he talks about what's wrong happening to him. And I'm not trying to attack Trump here. I'm saying what Trump needs to do, and it's InfoWars, along with just a few other platforms. You can say Drudge, definitely, as much as InfoWars, maybe more. But it's our audience that is a good half of his supporters at his rallies, and they're upset because they see what's happening. And so going back to Nick Fuentes, Nick, I'm not going to sit here and couch this in 100 different platitudes to people that are going to say Alex Jones supports white supremacists. A, I don't think you're a white supremacist. B, if you were one and people are saying you don't have a right to go to a university and stand in a line and ask a question, I mean, you could be a NAMBLA member. And I'm not saying you are. I'm not implying it. I'm saying you could be a convicted arsonist who's gotten out of prison for arson. And if you wanted to go try to speak in a public forum, that's your right. I mean, this idea that Michelle Malkin is fired from her conservative position because she said in a speech, and I went and found it and pulled it up. I forgot to give it to the crew. You guys pull that up. Michelle Malkin defends Nick Fuentes and says, you are a leader in the new right, and you have a right to speak. Well, that's a fact. So for stating 2 + 2 = 4, they fired her, and I guess every few hours there's new aftermath. Tell us about what's been unfolding.
Right. So she gave a speech last week at UCLA, which you've shown, and she said something very mild. You know, as you said, it's completely factual. You know, she said that I'm a rising leader in the new right, and she said that I am the mouthpiece or somebody who's voicing the concerns, legitimate grievances of young Trump supporters and Christians. And as a result of that passing remark and her general support of what we've been trying to do, as you said, she's been called a white supremacist, a Holocaust denier, a Nazi, a white nationalist. And it's so interesting. Michelle Malkin is somebody who's been on the scene for a long time. She's well respected. She's the real deal when it comes to America First, Christianity, conservatism, and all the rest.
She's been around 25 years. She's been around as long as I have.
Exactly. She's been with America First from the beginning, right? And it's so interesting to see how all these conservatives turn on a dime. The moment that she gives a little bit of cover to somebody who's not approved, somebody who's not a part of the beltway system, not a part of the establishment, suddenly everybody turns on a dime. And they call her the worst names, Nazi, Holocaust denier. I'm sure these people know her personally. These people know she doesn't support that. These people know she's not a white supremacist. But they want her to disavow me. They want her to, you know, do this very sort of symbolic genuflection towards conservative ink and say, yes, I submit. and I acknowledge that you're in control and you get to decide who's in the system and who's outside the system, you know, who's approved and who isn't. And so I think that's what it's really about, is it's about control over the conversation, the contents of the conversation, and who gets to participate in it. So I think that, you know, they are exposing themselves as maybe worse than the left. They are left of the left when it comes to this. The SPLC, the ADL, they are not even as hardcore on people like me or Michelle Malkin as people like David French and the National Review are being this week. So I think it's absolutely disgusting what they're doing to her.
Now, let me raise this here, because I'm not a cult member. I supported Trump day one. I thought people in pop culture were pretty annoying. I don't like casinos. I thought The Apprentice was pretty silly. But then I got to know a lot of people that have been on The Apprentice, like Jesse James, and he said, no, Trump's a patriot. He knows about the New World Order. He doesn't like it. You know, I stayed at his house a lot. They're good buddies. And I used to live next door to Jesse James. I'm good friends with him. What you hear about Jesse James in the news is not true. He's a big Christian and not a devil worshiper, not a Nazi. You know, any of that stuff you heard, none of that's true either. But then he said, watch, he's going to run. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. And then he did run. And then I supported him early on, and he did win. My issue with people like Shapiro and others is they want you to forget about all the things he said about Trump and his supporters. And now he wants to be the consummate Trump supporter. And then he wants to wall off and block everybody that was an original supporter and act like we don't have a seat at the table. That's just despicable. And it's very arrogant.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what's happening. They're completely co-opting the Trump administration, because when it mattered, when it counted, when it was actually difficult to back Trump, you know, as you said, the people that supported him from the beginning, and I was supporting him, you know, in March or April 2016, Ben Shapiro was saying that he would never vote for Donald Trump. Employees of Ben Shapiro said they would vote for people that would deport Trump supporters. You know, a lot of these high profile neocons would say things like, immigrants are actually more American than these, you know, white working class Trump supporters. And you're right. You know, now that it's 2019 and the tides have turned and Donald Trump is the most popular Republican president in history, now they want to say that, oh, they were Trump supporters all along. They want to make it about themselves. They've completely, and I think to some degree of success, co-opted everything that Donald Trump did in 2016. And I think that's why you're seeing some of the priorities in the administration shift from Donald Trump during the campaign. You know, I see a lot
that's
of this
very dangerous. I want to talk about that next segment and get into Caitlin Bennett being confronted by these very groups today in the article on Infowars.com. And poor Caitlin's nothing but a sweetheart. She doesn't deserve this from these neocon organizations that are so scared they want to push us out of the campaign way ahead of it. So I'll be at the DNC. I'll be at the RNC more than ever now because they're trying this type of crap. But let's be fair here, Nick, and people can change their mind. Or maybe you can tell us what happened with this clip. I believe this clip is from back during Trump's run. Here's what you had to say about Trump.
And having people of, by, and for the people they were intended to represent. Now, having said that, Donald Trump has served his function. His time is over. It's time for serious candidates. Let the adults talk, Donald. We don't need the exclamatory phrases, the borderline racist remarks. Now we need real candidates.
Now, is that you at like 18 years old? You're 21 now? Because people say things that are wrong. I say things that are wrong all the time. Is that you trying to be a baby Shapiro?
That was me when I was 17 years old. That was in high school. That was November 2015. And I very quickly came around to support Donald Trump before the primaries even began. Primaries began on February 1st, 2016, so a couple of months later. I would say that I should be given a pass. You know, I was in high school. I was young, naive. I was a libertarian. And there were a lot of people who didn't support Trump right out of the gate. You know, I think at that time his support was maybe around something like 15 or 20% of the polls. And I think he proved himself to be a viable and legitimate candidate. As you said, you know, he was a, you know, TV star, casino sort of a guy. I think a lot of people right out of the gate said, oh, is this even a serious run for president? You know, if you notice in that clip, I didn't make any substantive claims about what he says or his platform, anything like that. I said, well, it just doesn't seem like
he's. Hey, you were 17. I just thought we'd get that clip out there and get your take on it. You didn't work hard to keep Trump from getting elected. In fact, you did work for it. Paul Joseph Watson is coming up in the next hour. He'll take over. I'm going to do that first little segment. Nick Fuentes is our guest. The attempt to intimidate Michelle Malkin and get her fired from her job because she's a Nazi now, because she supports free speech in America, is very, very dangerous. You know, I had a big run-in with Michelle Malkin. There was a video of Marines throwing a baby dog, off of a cliff. And I support the military. I support the Marines, even when they're sent in on illegal wars. I'm a big supporter of the military. I support the VA. I've pushed hard for that. But I covered it, and she said I put a fake video out with an electronic dog. And so I ran into her in Denver during the DNC in 2008. Because that was 2007 then. And I got in her face, and her big bodyguard ran his elbow into me. And man, I elbowed that guy in the stomach, and he just started crying. I was like, dude, just because you're 6'7 or something doesn't mean I won't climb up on top of you. And the point is that I like Michelle Malkin. She'd been on the show before that, but she said I was a liar and a conspiracy theorist, and I got in her face, and her guy hit me with his elbow, so I elbowed him back in the elbow, and you know they basically ran for the hills. But I'm not bragging. That's just a famous story. And then she put out the disinfo story that, you know, that I was attacking her. She had attacked me. She had gotten in my face. But I don't think she should be fired. I think she should have her speech. And she sure as hell not a Nazi. She's very pro-Israel. And you know, I'll tell you, I used to be neutral on Israel, but everybody tried to make me be anti-Israel. So I'm pro-Israel. I mean, I mean, you look at the place like Saudi Arabia won't take one refugee, supposed refugee or Palestinian, but Israel's supposed to. If Israel disappeared, you'd have the Islamics killing each other forever over it. I'm sick of it. I will not choose the side of radical Islam over Israel. And you've got most of the leftist Jews supporting the Islamic invasion and the rest of it. So this idea that the Jews are this big monolithic thing drives me crazy. But I don't even want to get into the debate because I'm tired of it. I want to promote Big Ten ideas of Americana and freedom. And what Turning Point USA and YAF and all these groups are doing is not doing that. So going back to Fuentes, let's get this out in the open. I've seen your Cookie Monster deal where you're reading what somebody has said to you in a super chat, people that don't know on YouTube, and you're talking to them, and the fans pay $3, and that's how you fund yourself, and then you read their question, and then you're talking about something about ovens and Cookie Monster and making a joke or something about the Holocaust. I don't think that's funny. But you shouldn't be deplatformed, and you shouldn't be silenced over that. So let's just get this out in the open. What is your issue on Israel, the Jews, the whole nine yards?
Sure. Well, yeah, like you said, the clip that's floating around, I talk about the Holocaust. And, you know, in that case, it's obviously very context dependent. It's clearly a joke. It's clearly tongue in cheek. I'm laughing throughout the video. And they always cut off the last 5 seconds where I say in the video, it's all ironic. It's all a joke. And that's really sort of the tone of Generation Z humor. It's very ironic.
No, again, it's all supposed to be just as politically incorrect as possible.
Exactly. Right. It's meant to shock. It's meant to be outrageous. But my deal on Israel and Jews in general is, well, in the case of Israel, I sort of have, like you say, a neutral position. I understand you're pro-Israel. I'm basically neutral. I see sort of this idea of Islam versus Israel as maybe a false choice. I choose America first. That's the name of my show. You know, so I don't necessarily have a problem with Israel. I don't hate Israel. I don't, you know, think about Israel every waking hour of my day. I just wish we would stop sending them money. I wish they would stop spying on us. You know, I wish that we could have a more amicable or reciprocal relationship. And that's really the long and short of it. But let me just say this.
I have been mercilessly persecuted by the Anti-Defamation League, who now says the OK sign is evil. My son is a senior in high school. One of his friends was taken to the principal for making the OK sign. That's a cult. The ADL's dangerous. And it's corrupt leftist Jews projecting Nazism onto America. So I get the backlash, but that's not Jews in general. Just because a group of leftist Jews are using persecution of Jews as a reason to go around and persecute people doesn't mean all Jews are bad. So let me ask you this question. I mean, are there good Jewish people in the world, Nick Fuentes?
Of course. And I know a lot of them, Paul Gottfried, Darren Beatty, you know, some of my best friends are Jewish. And I don't think the claim is ever that every Jewish person is up to no good or they're, you know, involved in some conspiracy. But I think, like you say, there are some nefarious actors, Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, the ADL, the SPLC, and, you know, they're problematic and we can call them out. And I think that's really where it starts and ends.
I've said. The ADL came out of the Jewish mafia getting in trouble and a Jewish man kidnapping and raping and killing a little girl. And And then they tried to come out and set up an organization, saying that you basically can't prosecute people for that. And then using the fact that America's so open to say that Jews can then commit crimes. And I don't think Jews should get out of jail free cards. And I totally agree with that. I'm just simply saying that there are a lot of great people in every group and every organization, like Catholics. Some of the best people I know growing up are Catholic. People I've seen protesting in abortion clinics, 90% of them are Catholic. I've got a lot of friends that would wake up at 3 a.m. if my pipes burst, who are Catholic, who are good people, salt of the earth. You know, my wife's Catholic. So I understand that our family are salt of the earth people. You could give them $1 million and come back 100 years later and it'd all be waiting for you. So I get that. But the Pope wants world government. The Pope has a bunch of pedophiles. His deputy Pope just got convicted. That guy's not a Pope. So I don't blame the Pope's criminal activities on Catholics.
Sure. Well, and I think there's certainly an interesting analogy there. I think where I would push back a little bit is the fact that, you know, people can criticize the Pope all day long on network television, and politicians can do this and, you know, basically face no repercussions. I would say the Catholics don't really, traditional Catholics don't really wield a lot of institutional power in the same way that other groups do. And I'm not trying to be coy there. I'm just trying to be honest that, you know, I will be the first person to call out globalist influence from all kinds of institutions. Certainly, you know, I'm not a big fan of this Pope in particular. I'm a Catholic, so we have to adhere to a certain doctrine, but I'm not a fan of his politics, and the deep state is, you know, problematic. But I think the problem becomes this double standard where, you know, we can criticize all these different facets, but, you know, one seems to be somewhat off limits, or there seems to be, you know, a taboo or a sacred cow there. And I've always just said that I'll criticize every globalist.
Well, let me say this. I think the fact that there has been a taboo and a sacred cow has blown up in the left's face using Nazism and blaming people for Nazism that aren't. It's really hurt those organizations, exposing, you know, real groups. And the fact that they're banning the bro fist and everything else shows a desire for power and control by the left. And look, you're on Twitter, you're on YouTube, you're on all these platforms. And I got to tell you, I'm not comparing you to David Duke. So is he. Why do you think I've been taking off everything, but you haven't? And I'm not putting that as a litmus test. I know Gorka the gay whale wants you taken down.
Well, I think that's a good question. I frankly don't know. I really find it puzzling. And, you know, I don't want to make the case for me being deplatformed, but I'll say that, you know, maybe it's simply that I'm not on their radar yet. You know, I think the reason they deplatformed you is because you really are a threat to the system, in the sense that you have a completely independent media operation that, in terms of production and in terms of scope, in terms of reach, is on par with any major network. And I think they fear somebody that is legitimately independent, that has so much influence. And so I think that's why they came for you. You know, you got to realize that up until 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was reaching maybe, you know, 15, 20, 25,000 people per show if I was lucky, you know, on a good night. It's only in the last 4 weeks that I've blown up a little bit. So, you know, I could chalk it up to me maybe just not being on the radar. Perhaps my last name has something to do with it. You know, maybe Jack Dorsey finds Nick Fuentes on Twitter and they say, oh, you know, he's one of these MAGA Hispanics, you know, one of these Latinos for Trump or something.
So Fuentes is Spanish?
Yes, it is.
Listen, let's do 5 more minutes on the other side. You are a very smart guy, and that's clear. Most of these people just regurgitate talking points over and over again. And that is why they fear InfoWars. The model of this, listener-supported multimedia, was the biggest political show in world history up until the election. And then they had the secret ban, and then it expanded from there. But we were literally, some days, without even looking at everything, getting 20, 30, 40 million views outside of the main platform. We're talking some days 7 million people clicking on the audio streams. InfoWars, they saw it. It was the biggest thing ever. We had Super Bowl-level audiences every couple of days, and that's why. We're going to come right back with a few final questions and play this situation with other conservative groups targeting free speech and now going after our own Caitlin Bennett. I guess next they'll say she's a Nazi because she supports free speech. That's coming up with Nick Fuentes and Paul Watson. You know, when I say this is going to blow up in the neocons and all the candy asses' faces at Turning Point USA, firing Michelle Malkin, saying she's a Nazi, literally, and all the rest of this crap, I can't state how bad it is. And once they start secret policing and checking IDs and having big list of people that they're going to persecute, it's going to go just downhill from there. Whoever advised these morons to do this are idiots. I want people to come to my events and to disagree with me. It's super entertaining and fun. But they're leftist. They just came in to take over the movement. That's clear. It's the exact same playbook. And if they're going to try to tar the entire liberty movement that put Trump in power as Nazis because Fuentes has said a few off-color things, and clearly he's better on his feet than you know, somebody like Ben Shapiro. It just really scares them. Well, believe me, like I told Vice when Trump won, I'm just the latest wave. A bunch of more waves are coming. And Generation Z is not buying any of it. And so, folks, let's not, I'm not against Trump. It's a paradox, though. We love Trump, but we can't be Trump cult members. We have to be liberty lovers, Americana, Renaissance lovers, freedom lovers, Christians, and realize that we don't hang our hat on Trump. We hang our hat on real values we stand for. Nick, any other comments on that?
That's exactly right. You know, Trump got elected because he was in favor of America first. He was in favor of a wall and all the rest. And, you know, insofar as he's pursuing that, we support him. And when he falls short, then I think you're right. We have to hold him accountable and hold his feet to the fire. And, you know, that's our job with any politician. So I think that's the right mentality.
Let's get into Caitlin Bennett before you leave us. The article's on InfoWars.com. YAF members sick police on conservative activists for trying to ask Knowles a question. Let's go ahead and roll that clip.
Hi, I wanted to ask you a question. I think it was you.
We're not allowed to talk. We're not allowed to talk on behalf of the AF.
But you were the one telling, no, that's Caitlin Bennett, don't.
No, it was a misunderstanding, I promise.
Yeah, can you explain that?
It was a misunderstanding. I was just telling her that that was who you were.
Then why were you doing the, like, no?
I'm sorry, we're not allowed to talk. I'm sorry.
Why aren't you allowed to talk to me if you don't want me to ask
because
questions?
Because we don't represent.
You don't want me? Yes, you do. Yeah. And why did you give that no symbol?
I can't remember doing that, but if I did, that was honestly, I promise, it was not anything about you. I was just, she didn't recognize you or know you, so I wanted to let her know that that was you.
Come on, guys.
We were wondering about
guys, come
I
on.
I really promise.
Come on. Be okay. Honest with me.
I'm sorry. I'm putting an end to this. There's
Are
police
you?
Officers right there, and I need
I've
to leave.
Got to go.
Okay,
so
I'm on the campus.
Now they call the police on. We'll keep rolling the video, but... These are more of these people that were that Bennett learned were actually trying to get her deplatformed. And so I guess they see her as legitimate and as real and not controlled. Because, you know, Turning Point USA tried to get Caitlin Bennett and others to work for them. And when they wouldn't, they put out fake memes that she pooped her pants and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of real nastiness going on. And she didn't want to come out and expose them. But I guess without even my direction, she's starting to expose these other similar groups. Now they call the cops on her. I mean, that's the so-called conservatives just can't wait to call the police because she tried to talk to them. They want to give speeches and want to talk about her, but don't want to talk to her. Nick, this is not going to go well.
No, not at all. And you know what's so telling about this is that they invite leftists to ask questions. They're so polite to the leftists who show up, you know, people that support abortion and socialism and all these other horrible things. But somebody like Caitlin Bennett or people, you know, who have rosaries in their hands or wearing Trump hats, they literally call the police on them to get them removed. And I think that exposes exactly what's going on, which is that they want to have a controlled conversation between the controlled globalist left and the controlled globalist right. And anybody, as you said, that is a free thinker, anybody like Caitlin or yourself or me or anybody that's not on board with this controlled conversation between two sides of the same globalist coin, well, they have to shut that down and they have to brand those people as racists and Nazis and make sure that nobody associates with them and nobody can, you know, try and rehabilitate their image or anything like that. That's exactly what this is about. And it's totally backfiring because people see it for what it is. It's a very bad look. Have police pulling people for asking questions at a so-called.
And that comes up on the video. And just how, sorry, how wimpy and dumb these women are compared to Caitlin Bennett. That's who wants to lead us is all these little chicken neck weirdos and Gorka the gay whale and everything else. It's just amazing. I'm not saying Gorka's literally gay. He just has a little pocket watch and is a dandy and polished shoes and like shakes his butt, swish, swish. I mean, he looked good in a dress. Nick Fuentes, thank you. We appreciate you.